2 Peter chapter 1 verses 12 and 13. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Peter says, you already know these things. But I'm not going to be negligent to keep reminding you and to bring these things to your remembrance in order that you may be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. It's important that we hear the same old things over and over again, that we may be established in the present truth, lest we forget. How shall we escape if we neglect? Where is that? That's Hebrews. Yeah, chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken through the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it? So the writer of the Hebrews is giving us really basically the same thing Peter said. He says, we need to hear it. We need to hear it over and over. And the reason we need to hear it is because we tend to forget. That's human nature. We tend to get so involved in the things of this life that we tend to forget the things that are most important. Therefore, in verse 1, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We ought to give the more earnest heed to these things, to things we have heard. I've said many times, it's so easy to get caught up in the things of this life, and they'll just sweep you away, and we have to be saved from that. We don't want to neglect the things that the Lord has spoken to us, the truths that we really know, but to rehearse them one to another and to continue to hear them and to speak of them. And that's the reason that way back there in Deuteronomy, the Lord spoke through Moses and said that not let this word pass from you, but speak of it when you walk in the way, when you're sitting in your house. Speak of it to your children. Let it be a thing that is rehearsed continuously. He told Joshua, meditate upon the words, for in this shall you be a good general. It's that word that makes a difference. I want to go back to 1 Peter, to be established in the present truth. There's a number of things that we need to continue to hear, because we tend to forget. I give you for an example. Paul speaks in Galatians that the law was given as a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. That was to teach Israel, to bring them unto Christ. And they had it for thousands of years. They rehearsed it and rehearsed it. But nevertheless, when Christ came, they didn't recognize him. Talked about it every Sabbath in the synagogues. the day will come when the Messiah will be here. But man had deviated from the word that God had given them to the point that when Jesus came, they didn't recognize him. And I find that Christianity tends to do the same thing. Do you have any idea how far we've gone afield from the true gospel that Peter spoke of in his epistles, that Paul spoke of in his epistles, that Jesus taught in the short time that he was on earth and the four gospels that we have, the book of Acts, but the whole New Testament? And we've gotten so far afield in so many of these things. We need to hear about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We need to hear it until it begins to stir our hearts, sharpen our spirits to the point that it really means something. The Lordship of Jesus Christ has been diluted to the point that it doesn't mean a whole lot to many Christians today. We need to hear it again. We need to hear it as a living word, as a sharp two-edged sword that divides between soul and spirit, until there's a sharpness in it that we can receive it. We need to hear again about the truths that the Lord spoke to us, said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you." We take these things so lightly anymore. We have become a part of the world. Christianity and the world, not much difference in it anymore. But Jesus said, "I am not of this world." And in speaking of his disciples, he said, "And they are not of this world either, for I have spoken unto them a word that brings them apart." Now, go back to the first epistle of Peter. We need the present truth until it comes alive to us once again. I got an email today from a brother pastor in Kenya. I don't know how he found out about us. This is the first time I've heard from him. But he wanted to make contact with us. And he said that he and a number of other Christians in their village, and they would meet together out in the woods under the trees to worship and to minister the gospel sermons they had. And they would minister to one another out under those trees. And that met my heart. I felt oneness with him. I sent him an email back. I said, "I'd like to worship under those trees with you. In fact, count me as being present in your midst." That moved me. I felt a tremendous love for the brethren. And I thought about some of the mega churches that we have here in America today. You know, with their messages of prosperity and so forth. Not much life in them. Not much life in them at all. You say, "Well, DuBose, wouldn't you like to be invited to minister in one of those mega churches?" Just think about all the people you'd reach. I have no desire whatsoever to minister in that kind of church. None. Because you'd be ministering to people who are dull of hearing and wouldn't be able to hear the word. They've moved so far away from the truth. However, get with those brothers there in Kenya out under the trees. That sounds exciting to me. That sounds very exciting. I'd like to do that. And chances are I'll never be able to do it, but in spirit we can do it. We don't want to ever become gospel hardened. We don't want to become so locked into the things of this world until you can't see the difference. We want the messages of Christ to be sharp, like a two-edged sword that cuts, divides between soul and spirit. We want to hear the same messages again until they become so real to us, You want to hear about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But we talked a good bit lately about following Christ, that He is the Good Shepherd. Those messages, they sound good on the surface. Sweet Jesus leading His sheep. That doesn't sound good. But to really know Him and to hear His voice and to follow Him. The sheep don't know anything about this world. They're walking with the Lord. Let's look at a few verses from the first epistle of Peter. From chapter 1. About verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. In other words, it wasn't a prosperity message that brought you into the things of the Lord. Corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation of behavior received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Wouldn't you like to hear that again about the precious blood of the Lord? Wouldn't you like to hear it as a word that cuts deep? And to cry out and you say, Lord, let that blood flow through my veins and bring a purity. He is a lamb without spot and without blemish. And Lord, I want to be a part of that flock, that lamb flock that is without blemish and without spot. Who verily was foreordained. Listen to this. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, or for us, who through him do believe. And King James says that by him we believe in God. But the Greek reads, through him we do believe into God, that raised him up from the dead, from the deadness of our old nature, and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. Seeing that you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Let's say that again. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Can you remember the last time that you loved someone with a pure heart, fervently? Don't think about that too much. You get down on yourself. But to love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Does that mean that some have been born again of a corruptible seed? Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Now, he's talking to Christians. Christians, lay aside all malice. Lay aside all the guile. Lay aside all the hypocrisies and the envies, see, and the evil speakings. And as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. How would you like to be under those trees, worshiping the Lord, being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ? I don't suppose this is much of a word here, but Paul says we need to hear. Though we know these things, we need to hear them again and again and again, that we might be established in the present truth. One shot doesn't do it. You can't get one shot of Christ and it do you for a lifetime. But there has to be a continual input continuously. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Here's one that we need to hear again and again and again. Verse 3 and 4. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It's all been given. Lord, help us to appropriate these things and not neglect them. Whereby, verse 4, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There's a way that has been given that we don't have to be a part of this world. Love not the world or the things in the world. That's in John, in the Epistle of John. We're to hate the things of the world because they'll destroy us. We can be partakers of the divine nature. Man, that scripture in Hebrews hits me now. We've neglected it. How shall we escape if we neglect the word that has come to us? To free us from the things of this world, from the things of our own corrupt nature. According as His divine power. I'm going to read it again because we need to hear this. Peter says, I'm not going to be negligent to continue to bring this to you and to remind you of it, though you know them, that you might be established in the present truth. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Verse 11, I wind it up with this one. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Amen.